great shepherd, you care for the sheep. We come, Lord, as unworthy servants. We come asking your grace, your blessings upon each person that's here today. Any that may be saddened, may their hearts be lifted up. Oh God, everyone that is hungry and thirsting after righteousness, they will be filled, for that is your promise to your children. You're inviting them now to come to the table that is spread. This great seven-course meal, oh God, the opening of your word, the seals that are unfolded and let the people rejoice. The word is made known and Christ is present among you. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each one. Thank you for those that are here, brothers and sisters visiting. We ask, Lord, that this will be a day of fellowship, a day of sweet communion. Lord, as we even prepare throughout this day for this evening, when we will be gathering around the Lord's table, Lord, and put watching. Oh, God, bless your people, I pray. And now as we surrender ourselves to you, the Holy Spirit, have control over the minds of the people. May we be quiet and reverent. Oh God, oh God, oh God. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord Jesus, you'll have the preeminence, we pray now. Amen. God bless you. If you'd like to take your Bibles, I'll have you turn to John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. I want to get right into the Word this morning. We need all the time possible. I'm going to ask that there be as little movement as possible. We don't get up to go out unless it's absolutely essential. And the children, you parents, see that your children remain in the sanctuary unless it's an emergency. I see sometimes some go out every Sunday, and I know that that's not necessary. So you parents, you guide your own children and take that responsibility, please. Now in the 10th chapter, I'm going to read from the verses 1 through 4. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read another verse, which I believe I read last Sunday, one which is referred to frequently by believers of this message, and it's Exodus 23 and 20, where the Lord said to Moses, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Now, in both of these verses, portions of scripture which we've read, we have the predominant thought here, the voice of God. And that the voice will bring you to the place which I have prepared. I want to refer to one more scripture, and that is in 2 Corinthians 3. I'll just read it for you. 3 and 18. That's one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed from glory to glory. We have been speaking for some meetings now on the ascending of the bride, the ascending order, which of course is the order of Melchizedek, because that's a higher order of life. And I would like to take and title this service this morning, this message, by God's help, Changed by the Voice. Now it says that we are changed into the same image. I was greatly blessed even just this morning by taking this one word, change. And I had been on a thought all week and just been looking to the Lord, and He'd been guiding me through the Scriptures for the whole week. And then the last thing this morning, just feeling directed, so directed during the week, and took this one word, change. And I want to just drop a very brief, compact summary of that one word to you, which will give a more or less a basis for the rest of my thoughts this morning. Change is being transformed. Metamorpho, which we have metamorphosis from. Metamorpho, which is from two words, meta, which is after, and morpho, which is form. So we are changed, which is after or following, because you have to have a pattern. You have to have a first, a pattern, an image. And that image, of course, is Christ. So now He was first. He was the first begotten of the Father from the dead. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning. So now we are being changed, metamorpho, going through right now. We are in a state of metamorphosis. We are being changed. We're not just going to be, we are being changed. We're going through this process now by the voice. Meta, after the pattern, after the form. There had to be that first. And the metamorpho comes also from morphe, which the prophet used in the unveiling of God, which is formed into the same image, or that image that strikes the eye. It's something that you have to see. A blind man can never be changed, when I'm talking about spiritual blind, can never be changed into the image. That's why those in Laodicea who had put the word out could never come into the image of the Word. They could never experience this metamorphosis because they weren't seeing Him. That's why the Lord Jesus said, you're blind. You can't see me. And by not seeing, it was not striking the eye. They could not undergo this change. And then also, in metamorpho and morphe, it has a historical connection to another word, meros, which is your part or a part. It's an allotment. So now here we have transformed after the image or after the pattern in the form by that which we have seen in vision, or that which has struck the eye. You see something, and that which you see is your portion.
Amen.
Or, as we spoke on Wednesday, your allotment, your inheritance. You are an heir, and that you are an heir receiving your portion, you have a right to be changed.
Amen.
You have a right to this metamorphosis. You have a right to be transformed. You have a right to see Him.
Amen.
You have that right. Amen. And we end this meeting this morning with the knowledge that I announced to you, you have a right, God-given right, to see Him and to be transformed in Him. That's your right. You have a right to walk out of this building different than when you came in. You have a right to be changed. I'll say to you that may be bound by unbelief, you have a right to be free if you're a son and daughter of God. You that are sick have a right to healing. It's your portion. In the children's bread. You that be bound mentally, you have a right to be free. You have a right to the whole, the whole benefit from God. You believe that?
Yeah.
All right. Now, being changed by the voice, being going through a process of metamorphosis and ending up at a destination. Now, there are two major destinations, and there's only two main destinations. One is heaven and one is hell. And there is a voice that is going to take us to an eternal life, and there's a multitude of voices to influence us or to try to take you to destruction. So firstly, there are these two destinations, and every living person that's in this building today is going to end up in one of those two places. Secondly, we are presently at this moment being, I'm not preaching history, you see, and I'm not preaching a pie in the sky in the future. I believe in preaching something that pertains to you now. And you are presently under the influence of these voices, but we are presently being prepared or being conditioned. You are being conditioned through the leadership of the voice which is directing us.
Amen.
It's not only directing you, but it's conditioning you for the place where you're going. Right now. Right now. We are moving or evolving towards that ultimate destination. Right now. Now, there are so many voices in the world, a lot of them, multitudes of them, is there not? And there is an objective in these voices. It's surprising. You enter into a conversation with a person, and perhaps it's not very long before you discover that person's trying to influence you. They're trying to get a hold of your mind. They're trying to direct you into their line of thought. And how prevalent it is today. Because they want to set you on a certain course. Look at the voice of the advertising. Wow, don't tell me that's not a powerful voice. They're just dazzling your mind, trying to capture you because they want to pull money out of your billfold. Or maybe that's an old-fashioned phrase. Pull your credit card out. Might be more modern, but still it's a powerful voice. And perhaps many of us ought to pull that card out when we shouldn't. I had very few amens, and there were only men that said anything at that time. I thought at least we should have had some of the women say amen, but anyway, sisters, we forgive you. Voices of the airwaves, voices of the nations, voices of the politicians. Don't tell me that they don't speak to try to capture your mind, and they have an intent of bringing you into their camp so that you will, when you get into the little place, a voting poll, you'll put an X in the right place. Is that not so? They want your mind because they want to change what you think. And that's the whole idea. Various interest groups and above all, religion. Voices on every corner today. And the reason for that voice is to have an intent. So you must get this now. The voice has an intent. There's an intention behind it. To change the way you think. To change perhaps your activities at home. To change the course of your life. And of course, when we finally hear the voice of God, it does indeed change us. So dramatically. So wonderfully. Now we talked to just recently. It was a statement in our Bobby, Brother Joseph, after we visited and had us, we came here and we're in service. And Sister Bobby just said to us, to my wife and I hope she doesn't mind me making this personal reference, but I thought it was wonderful. She said, you know, having not gone to church for years, but finding that three services a week become the focal point of your whole week. What a change! What a transformation! For years, been able to block out going to church. Can't conceive going to church. For what about our brother Franz down here? Couldn't conceive going to church once a week. Too much to do. Too much work. Too much money to make. I mean, a mind already set. And because the mind is set, the body was set in motion, and had no time for God, no time for anything. Then something happens. And sin comes in, and the body is put in another direction. How wonderful it is. What a different mindset. Why? Because the person sees something. They see something. It becomes an inner vision. And the life is changed because it's the voice of God. The prophet said, now I'm going to give a lot of quotes today, so I won't make all the references. If you need them or anyone, you can ask me. I have them all here. But I want to cover a lot of ground, so do bear with me. Now the prophet said that there's intellectual voices. There's great voices of mighty men who are intellectual. And then he said further, he said, there is so many voices, it deadens the voice of the supernatural. And today it says one reason that the church is in the condition that it's in is because there is so many voices. When you look out on the religious world and see the condition, it's because there are so many voices. And what happens when there's a lot of voices? Confusion. And there's no settled feeling in a state of confusion. Maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way. I'm so glad for a prophet. I'm so glad for just saying the Lord. I'm so glad that God didn't leave us any room to question how he has fortified us. Because there are so many voices, and he says, perhaps they wouldn't even understand it, but because it would be a foreign thing to them, talking about the voice of God, he said they have got themselves so much centered on the voices of the day. So what he's saying is that a person can be so focused and so centered on the voices of this day that we don't hear, or the voice of God sounds foreign to us. Now, please remember my previous statement. All these voices have an intent, an objective, to convince, to persuade, to influence, to control, for one reason, one purpose, or another. Now, breaking into it, there is the voice of Satan. Satan has a voice. Yea, hath God said? Those were words which he uttered. And when he uttered them, he had an intent. He had a plan. He had a scheme. And he wanted to convince someone else, which was Eve at that point, over into his line of thinking. He said, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The Bible says in Genesis 3 and 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, listen, ye shall not surely die. Satan has a voice. Satan, Brother Branham said, was speaking through Pharaoh. And it was God speaking through Moses. Satan spoke to Jesus. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You know that Satan spoke through Peter when Peter didn't know it? Peter said, he told the Lord that surely he shouldn't go through this suffering. And Jesus turned to him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. And I'm sure those words were a shock to Peter. So Satan does speak. He does have a voice. And I can tell you he's working overtime. But that's about as much time as I'm going to give him. I want to talk about the voice of God. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Deuteronomy 4. Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard it and lived? The voice of God was uttered through the prophets. Acts 13:27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, listen, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Because they did not know, now catch this, because they did not know him or the voice of the prophets, so now that's making a parallel. Had they known the voice of the prophets, they'd have known him. So they didn't know him, or if they'd known him, they would have known the voice of the prophets. It's 50-50, equal. If they'd known God, they'd have known the prophet's voice. If they'd known the prophet's voice, they'd have known God. Because they did not know him, nor yet the voice of the prophet,
They ended up fulfilling what the prophet said by condemning Christ. What a place they got transferred into. Imagine when that little child was born. Caiaphas. Sweet little baby. Little babies, Hebrew babies. Little babies, how sweet, how lovely. But a voice got a hold of them. They went through a metamorphosis until they were crying in the streets of Jerusalem for the blood of the Son of God.
What a change! Listen to me, my brother, my sister. We are under the same powers that would love to get a hold of you. They'd love to capture your mind. You see what I mean? And we never would have thought for a moment that those people would end up calling for the death of Jesus Christ. But there is the voice of God through the prophets. Then there is the voice of Jesus Christ himself. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He spoke to Paul. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Jesus had a voice. In Revelation it says that his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. And Brother Branham, in the Patmos vision, goes into the many waters. He said it was a thickness and multitudes of people and tongues. He said the voice. What a horrible thing for a drifting soul. I hope that you're not here as a professing believer on a drift, out on a drift. I trust that you're well anchored. I trust you know what you believe and who you've had your faith anchored in. But he said, what a horrible thing for a drifting soul on the sea of life. No pilot to guide him, a loose, floating with the tides, to hear the roar of the great cataracts, the falls. What a horrible thing it would be for a drifting, a soul drifting, a voice of many waters. He said, what is his voice? He said, it's the judgment, the voice of the ministers, through the Holy Spirit. The voice of many waters cried out, thickness and multitudes. The voice of those seven stars, the seven stars he had in his right hand, the seven messengers, is the voice of Jesus Christ. He said they're preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're preaching baptism in Jesus' name, speaking in tongues, the power of God, the resurrection of Christ, the second coming, divine judgment, the voice of many waters coming forth from this one that looked like the Son of Man, many waters. Jesus has a voice. God called ministry has a voice. And that voice is also with a purpose. He said that's the way it is in preaching the gospel. He said it's not we ourselves as ministers. We are not the gospel. We are only transmitters that transmit the voice of God through our agency. He said of man to the hearer. The voice that changes. Literally changes. I'm staying with the voice of God for a few moments. He said now, a true voice that sent from God, a true sign that sent from God has a voice behind it. Now we're also living in a time when there's all kinds of people got signs and wonders and various things. But remember, a true sign has a voice behind it, the voice of God. In the message, My Commission, he said, but when the angel of the Lord moves down, listen very closely now, I can't tell you how moved I was as I went through and looked to the Lord for this service today, and especially where I'm coming to now. Said, when the angel of the Lord moves down, it becomes then a voice of God to you. He said the voice is rare, the voice of God. And he said no wonder the voice of God is rare. It's a rare thing today. He said it's smothered out by so many other voices. That's what makes it rare. If you are hearing the voice of God today, you're a privileged people. You're highly honored of the Lord. You talk about Mary being favored, you are favored. I wish you could hear and see what it is that you're hearing and what it's doing for you. You'd be a very grateful people. And I'm sure we are. But he said it's a rare thing because it's smothered out by so many other voices. Now these are quotes taken from all over. Just a theme here. When those seven thunders, when the seals were to be opened and the word of God was to be unloosed, in the end time, he said those, the thunder, which was the voice of God, when the seal was opened, when the seal was ripped open, John heard a thunder, and the prophet said the symbol of that thunder is simply the voice of God. When Jesus was on the mountain, and a voice was heard to say, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Some said it thundered, because it sounded like a thunder to them, but it was the voice of God. He said that when a genuine Son, when a genuine foreordained Son of God, by the Word of God, when he hears the voice of God, he will rise to meet it. How many genuine son and daughters of God have we got? When a genuine son of God hears the voice of God, he will rise to meet it. He said, when he rises to meet it like that, he said it's the potentials that he's going to meet the real living Word. Now, the purpose of the voice of God is to set you and to keep you in this upward motion, this ascending order, and place you in heavenly places in Christ. To bring you now into a heavenly, supernatural atmosphere. That's what I prayed concerning this service. That God would set us into a heavenly, supernatural atmosphere. That where we can undergo a continuous change from glory to glory, being conditioned right into this rapture. I believe that we are a raptured people, and we're conditioned for it. Now, there's two places, friends, that dominate the spiritual scene. And it's not for me to say. The prophet did say, and I don't say this to bring any negative sense of feeling on anyone or to give Satan, but if you do, don't give Satan any opportunity for condemnation. But Brother Branham said there's three kinds of believers in every gathering. There's believers and make believers and unbelievers. And that's for you to determine where you are. For you to determine where you are. But I'll tell you what, if I was a make believer, I'd just let loose. I'd forget church. If I knew I was a make believer, I'd just go and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die and perish. And it's that kind of decision making that causes us now, we cannot make ourselves to be predestinated one thing or the other. But one thing that we can do when we see, even some believers don't like to preach about hell. But I can tell you, Jesus said more about hell than he said about heaven. And the reason, and no one knew predestination better than he did. But the reason he spoke about hell is because even a true believer, when they see the opposite, they know that they're not made for that. When I walk past a bar, there's never any temptation for me in a bar. I just walk past because I'm not made for it. I'm for it. It would be like me diving into a bunch of hydrogen chloride or something. I'm not made for it. And I'm glad I'm not made for it. I'm glad you're not made for it. It's a whole atmosphere that's different. And so, now we're undergoing this continual change. And because the voice that we're under is setting us and keeping us in this place or in this rising that we are in. Now, two places, heaven and hell. Heaven, which is high, and hell, which is low. Now, the real meaning of high and low, I want to take and remove out of our understanding or out of our concept of being geographically high or geographically low. I would like for this morning's service to put you in a place where heaven and hell really aren't so far away from any one of us. And to take heaven away from being millions of light years someplace beyond the blue. And at least let you know that today, and this is Satan's great trick in the church world, to put heaven and the rapture and the coming of Christ way into the future someplace. And it numbs us. Remember what the prophet said, those voices numb us. Because the reason they numb us, they put things way off in the future or way back in history rather than bringing the thing right present. And one thing is, I have been listening, I have been hearing, and under the constant effect of Brother Branham's voice as God spoke through him and speaking to the people, and I'll tell you, it left me affected all week. I've been under that effect. I just tried to bridge my time from one event to another, and keeping myself in that atmosphere, it has been glorious. I want to bring it to you this way, that rather than having hell some distant place and heaven some other distant place geographically, I want to see that you are now under the voice of God, or under the voice of Satan through one of his many different varied agencies, under one of these two influences, and presently undergoing a conditioning for one place or the other. And while you're being conditioned, listen close, you are gaining a capacity for one of those two places. Now, just to show you, don't tell me that the people of the world today have not increased in their capacity, in their ability for horror, in their ability for evil, in their ability and capacity of wickedness and violence and evil. I mean, they have a massive, massive ability for that today. Even things that would cause a person to blush and bring color to the face have an effect upon the human body. That effect is gone. You can't find a person to blush today, no matter what you talked about. Well, you know yourself, we're not that old. It wasn't very many years ago that if a girl and a boy got together, began to live together in a common law condition, the parents of either side, they kept that as the deepest family secret. They didn't want that out. They were absolutely not embarrassed. They were mortified to think that their daughter or son had slipped into such a state. But today, where is it today? It's everywhere today. It's a common thing today. Why? Because the people have been conditioned for this illicit affair. I remember when adultery between married couples, that was a horrible thing. Or some woman that practiced prostitution, that was a thing that was even though it's old, we realize that, but it was not as prevalent as it is today. Those were things that were kept under wrap because people didn't even want to speak about it. But what is it today? I'm pointing out that people have been conditioned. To me, we're facing some very horrible things. For me to grasp that I had to live and now live in a time and cope with such decisions as they're seeking to. Now look at how Satan has designed the thing. Bring about. Don't tell me that AIDS didn't come from the devil. The same as cancer come from the devil. But look how it came. One of the doctors raised up and said in this country and in the newspaper that it's the first terminal disease that is actually preventative. Think of it. Come on, folks. You understand what I mean. AIDS, the first terminal disease that actually man could change for the most part. But what is it today? Because we've been conditioned. And Satan slips it in now. We have to have protection. We have to have safety. And because of that, then the schools want to pass and have condoms, dispensing machines in our schools where our children go. I say it's hell on earth. That's exactly what it is. It's hell that has come to earth. And while hell has been moving up, the people have been moving towards it. You are being, if you're not in the kingdom of God, you're being conditioned right now for hell. And I'm not angry, I'm telling you the truth. Humanity is being conditioned and made ready and being prepared for the place they're going to. They're going through a metamorphosis by listening to the voice. And it comes through intellectual voices. It comes through great educational forces. It comes through politics. Because it's all rotten to the core. Absolutely rotten to the core. The voice of God and the voice of Satan with the intent behind it. Heaven is high and hell is low. Not geographically now, but in the conditioning. You can best understand this by the way God created things in the creation in the beginning. He created right here on earth the lower forms of life. Why do we call them lower? Because they do not have the capacity to see light, perhaps colors the way we do. They do not have the capacity. They have not been designed to appreciate what you and I appreciate. And then as far as you and I are concerned, there's more beyond you. The things which are seen are temporal. Say it again, they are temporal. The things which you see and we've become so attached to, and the tinsel and the glitter, is temporal. The things which are unseen are eternal. There's more beyond you. There's something higher. There's another world. Not a million light years, another world. And that world is here. That world is around you, the prophet said. And hell is nearby. You that go to hell will not take a very long step. And you that go to heaven will not take a very long step, because this last generation is being conditioned in both directions. Hallelujah. There are lower forms of life. And then to higher forms of life. The higher forms of life simply had more ability. Until finally one came with the ability to actually have fellowship with God. He was so high. Yet he stood on the same earth with the worm, with the tick, and with the flea. And the flea had eyes, and the human had eyes. And the flea had life, and the human had life. But there were two different kinds of life. One had ascended up in the creative work of God until he could have fellowship with God. And then come another voice. Did God say? And the voice caught a seed in the womb of the mind. And that seed fell to the soul. And she heeded the voice of Satan and fell. But didn't go anyplace geographically. Stood here on earth and fell. Fell. Got closer to hell. Unless there is a sacrifice laying someplace, Eve moved closer to hell because she fell. And then Adam fell. Eve deceived, but Adam not deceived. Adam went willingly, but there was a sacrifice made for them that did not immediately lift them up. But now watch the effect of the voice. Watch the intent. The intent was death. Satan's intent was to bring death, and she partook but didn't die. And she continued to live for a lot of years. And Adam lived for 930. But finally, the intent of the voice was accomplished and he died. Finally, they died. 910, 969 from Methuselah, they died. The intent, the influence of the voice. Might not happen tomorrow, young people, but the voice that you heed will accomplish its end in you. And you want to be certain you're hearing the voice of God. The many voices of Satan are going to take you the wrong direction. And God really laid something on my heart I don't think I'll even get to today. I may. But there was a rich man that Jesus spoke of in Luke's Gospel, I believe the 16th chapter, verse 19. And he also had a voice. And he finally cried because he was heeding a voice of business, a voice of acquiring more, until he says, I'll tear down my barns, I'll get greater. And Brother Branham ties him to the young man that was a rich young ruler. He ties all three men in three different stages to the one who came to Christ. He identified the Word, come running to the Word. What must I do to inherit eternal life? But he turned from the Word, sell all that you have, give it to the poor. He couldn't do it. And he heeded this voice and ended up in a place of torment. And the Bible says, being in torment, he cried, Abraham, send Lazarus. He didn't ask a big thing. Just dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. He was in anguish. Listen to me, saints of God. I may not have the energy to preach here too many years. I do not know what my future is. But if I was going this afternoon out of this world, I'd want to say this to you. Make certain that it's the voice of God you're hearing. Make certain it's the voice of God you're surrendering to. Make certain, because that voice has an intent to take you out of this world. Man fell when they heard the voice of Satan, and they went to a lower realm. The Bible says, thou madest him, Hebrews 2 and 7, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory. And then the Bible says in Hebrews 2 and 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower. Now lower. He was made a little lower for the death of every man. Elatu, lower. Lower in dignity, to be decreased. Jesus was decreased. Lower in to decrease in dignity, to decrease in authority and power. There was a day when the angels and archangels and seraphims bowed. But now he became a man. The Bible says, being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. Lower is to be made very small, very little, to be less in rank or in excellence. He once was in excellent form. He once was in a glorious form. He was God. He is God. But he took on the form of man. Flesh like you have and I have. Flesh that hungered. Flesh that sweat when it was hot. Flesh that was thirsty when he lost the moisture in his body in that hot climate. He became lower. Until he took a place
your place and my place in death. Now, we're going to die unless we're changed. But listen now, if you die and a sinner dies, unbeliever, if a believer and an unbeliever dies, they're not in an equal place. They all die, they too have not descended to the same spot. Even though they both may lay on a stat on a slab cold in the morgue, they are not at the same level. One is higher and other is lower. Because they're both set in a course. They died on a course. They simply experienced an interruption in their journey. That's all you're going to do. I'm telling you the truth, friends, this morning. That's all you're going to do. The death is just an interruption for the moment. And you're passing from this to another life. And depending on what voice you're under today, you're either on a constant incline, and if death should come, you simply will step beyond the curtain of time, but it doesn't change your course. You continue on to the destiny. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus Christ, then, after his resurrection, he showed himself to two men on the way to Emmaus. Now we've been talking about who made lower. Now we want to watch this ascending. And the Bible says, while he spoke with the two men on the way to Emmaus, and he came to their house, one of them was Cleopas, came to their house, and he was in the house breaking bread, and he gave thanks, and the Bible says that their eyes were opened. And the Bible says it's amazing, their eyes were open, but he vanished out of their sight. In Acts, first chapter, it says, when he had spoken these things, and while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. They simply couldn't see him anymore. A cloud received him. And while they looked steadfastly up toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Hear how that kingdom had come, that realm had come so close. And he said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven." In other words, he's taken up in a cloud, received out of their sight. And I can say today, without any fear or trembling, that he has appeared in our day in a cloud. Amen. He's appeared in a cloud. Amen. His coming is taking place, and a cloud has signaled the coming as a cloud has signaled the taking away. Now, and Jesus had prayed just before this. He prayed just before his death. And he said, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." Is that what he said? I'm quoting it, John 17 and 24. God, pray now if you've ever prayed. God, give me spiritual insight. God, give me divine revelation. God, give me the Spirit, the Holy Spirit to reveal these things.
Amen.
Jesus spoke of another world. He said, "Whoso speaketh anything against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, or neither in the world to come." He speaks about those that leave everything and leave all and follow him. And he said, "He shall receive 100-fold in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions." And I think we can all say amen if we receive these things. "And in the world to come, eternal life." Brother Branham said Jesus lived in another world. He said he lived in a world that no one knew anything about. He was an odd person. He lived in a world of perfect faith, in a perfect God, in which he was. He said, now if we, listen close, if we lived in a perfect faith of a Christian to what we are, we would be a mystic to the world. The people wouldn't understand you. And you would walk in the Spirit. Are you prepared to be a mystic?
Amen.
Now, His presence and His appearing in our day was for the purpose of lifting you into the realms of God that no other power is able. Friends, believers, saints of God, elect of God, you that have been called, you that took the time to come to the service this morning, I want to let it be known to you, there is no other power but the voice of God made known in this day that can elevate us and lift us into this other realm. And I believe we put too many limitations upon ourselves. We've limited perhaps even our Sunday morning service of what it is we're going to come and do and hear. How do we know what's going to happen? The fact is, I believe that I will say to you with confidence in my heart tonight as we have the Lord's table, I believe we're going to see signs and wonders and those miracles of God which need to take place around even the Lord's table. There are those that are sick and afflicted. That has no part with us. Let us be healed in the name of Jesus Christ by the broken body of the Lord. Those that have been held captive by the domination of Satan and evil spirits, even from childhood, let it be broken by the sword of the Lord. Even today, and you should say in your heart before the sun goes down tonight, I shall be at liberty and free by the power of God. I ask you, is anything too hard for the Lord? Yea, nothing is too hard for God. I care not what your affliction is, what your spiritual climate is. The God that I'm speaking of this morning and the voice of God in this place is able to deliver you, set you completely free as the Son of God. Now, Brother Branham spoke, and I was deeply moved, deeply, deeply moved. Young people, children, Brother Biscoe, your brother, you that are brothers, your brother, you that are sisters, your brother in Christ, I was deeply affected by what Brother Branham experienced in two worlds. A prophet lives in two worlds. And the reason for me going over these is to give you some insight into that world today. And where that world is, and I want to tell you before I start, it's a trembling thing, but that world is right around you, literally around you. And there's some amazing things that have been said. I want you all to listen very, very carefully. He said, when visions are seen, you're living in two worlds at the same time. You're in a dimension that the world knows nothing about. Now you might say, well, that was the prophet, but just a second. I want to bring it down to you, a moment at a time. He said in another message, at thy word, he said, a vision causes you to be in two worlds at the same time. You're in this world here now, and you're in another world. You're speaking over there, knowing that your voice is heard back here. Now he said to the people, place yourself there once, and just see what it'll do for you. When he come into visions, he was seeing, he was literally standing in two worlds. Said scientifically they would call it a dimension. But he said it was two worlds. Jesus spoke of another world. And Jesus is speaking now through a prophet's mouth, telling you that there's another world. And he gives various characteristics of it, and this is why I'm giving all these quotes so you can see it from different angles. To bring it, and my purpose this morning is to bring it very close to you. He said, it's the angel of the Lord. See, he says, I'm living in another dimension. It's the spirit world. He asked the people many times not to move. He said, when you move, and here's now perhaps why, you never perhaps read this, but he says, when you move, each one's a spirit. You're not just a body. Even the young children here, each one is a spirit. And with you moving, it interrupts the contact that I have with the spirit world, which is the angels of God and the Holy Spirit in the audience. Where are the angels of God this morning, now, this day, December the 13th? 1992, where are these angels? Where is the spirit world? Right here, just beyond your reach. He said, people ask him, and he just said the question, what are you watching, Brother Branham? He said, I'm watching him. He was watching Christ, watching him, standing there in two worlds. What are you looking at, prophet? I'm watching him. I'm watching Christ. He said it's another dimension, if you want to call it that. It's in the spirit world. And he said to the people, just imagine going into another world, then coming back, then out, then back. And after a while, you're getting weak. After a while, you don't know where you're at. And when I go to walk, he said, it's not because I'm too weak, but I can't see where I'm walking. Think of it. Went into it. Standing right there in one place. Went into it. Into this one. Into that one. Into this one. Into that one. Hearing the voice there, speaking over there, hearing his voice coming out here in another world. A man, a vessel for a specific purpose. He was sent for you. He was sent to bring this world to you. He was sent to take you there. It was none other than the voice of Jesus Christ calling to whosoever will. Let him hear the voice of God in this hour. You that are here in this church, stir yourself. Pinch your conscience. Check your life. Check your life. Where are you at? Examine yourself. Make your calling and election sure. I tell you, I'm not spending my time and my energy and my strength here for naught. I know where all I speak. I know it's the Holy Ghost. I know it's the Spirit of God. I know this message is the voice of God calling the elect out of the world. You will rejoice throughout the eternities. Why risk it? Why waste a day? Why play around? Why waste it? This is. This world, it changes me altogether, he said. It changes me altogether. He said, go into another world. Standing there talking to a person. He said, it may be 40 years back. Standing there. 40 years back. Seeing what he'd done. Talking and knowing my voice coming in here yet. He said, I'm 40 years back down the line and maybe go years beyond this and tell him what's going to be in the future in that world. Just the other side. Listen to me. Right beside you is your past. And right beside you is your future.
I'm not talking about my future, I'm talking about yours. In the message, My Redeemer Liveth, this is the most profound, most explicit that I've heard. And I don't remember, believe it or not, I don't remember reading it before. Maybe because it just struck me. He said, did you ever stop to think this morning as far as returning? That is, it had become visible, speaking of Christ. Did you ever stop to think as far as returning? He said, He is already here with us now. He said, now today, just imagine that His presence being here today. I want you to imagine that. The Lord Jesus is in another world or another dimension, using exactly the same phrases. Right here today in the form of spirit. I said, the Lord Jesus is in another world, in another dimension, but right here today in the form of spirit. His spirit is blending with our spirit. Right now.
Amen.
You came in here this morning, but this is what's happening. His spirit is blending with my spirit, your spirit. You, our eyes can't see Him because that they're physical yet. Unless there would be something happen that we could see a vision. So now that was all the vision did. Was what was happening out here in the other world simply made us with human ears to hear what was taking place in that world. That's what the vision did. But He is here, listen to this, but He is here just as visible, just as real as He was when He spoke to Mary at the grave. Let me shock you. Would we call this prophet a liar? Would we intimate that he was stretching the truth? I'm putting you on notice, folks. By our attitude towards what's being said, would we infer that this somehow isn't real? Or would we all agree that this is undiluted truth? Absolute truth. Then he said, he is here just as visible, just as real as he was when he spoke to Mary at the grave, or he met Cleopas on the way road to Emmaus. His presence is here. It can be felt with that inner charge that's on the inside of the human body, called the new birth. The soul has been magnetized unto Him. And once in a while, oh man, be this morning. Once in a while, when we let our minds be concentrated, that's why I asked for your focus this morning, concentrated on Him, believing on Him, after a while, something, in reality, we can feel something sweep over our being, and it's the vindication of His resurrection. I confess, we have been magnetized. The inner being within me, within the inner man, and I can assure you, perhaps didn't have the opportunity, you have to work in the work world, workforce, but you're here today. And I'm seeking everything that's within my grasp to bring you into that atmosphere where you can become conscious of Him. Oh, be awake. Awake, ye that sleep. Awake unto Christ. He's not in some distant place. He said, there's another world just out here.
where the supernatural is. The supernatural is. It's right here. It's just within your grasp. Within your grasp, friends. I want to bring it down within your grasp. Whatever it is that you may need from Him, I want to bring it within your grasp. The supernatural is, He says, that's where God lives. And that's where the Holy Spirit is. He said, He knows me and He knows you. Now, in the Jehovah Jireh series, are you coming into that atmosphere now? Listen how solemn this is. He's before a woman. He says, yes, sister, you with the black gloves on and your hands like this, raise up. He said, look this way at me. If I don't quote your prayer that you were praying that I heard in another dimension. Hallelujah. Don't tell me I can't get excited. A woman with black gloves on was able to pray, and that prayer didn't stop at the ceiling. That prayer didn't stop just outside of her lips. A prophet heard her prayer in another world. He says, if I don't quote that prayer to you, that's why it was a sin to even suggest he was reading their mind. He was receiving it from God. And he did. He said, you're praying for a bladder condition. And you're praying for a colon condition. And you're asking God to have me speak to you. Now, you're going to pray today. Your prayer, my brothers and sisters, your prayer is going to be heard in another world, right beside you. And if we had a prophet here, he would actually hear your prayer. Hear you pray. My. Think about the cursing. Think about the blasphemy. Think about those things where every word is going to be held accountable to. Oh, how glad we are we're washed. We're cleansed. We're free. Washed by the water of the Word. Give me another few minutes, would you please? He said, in this world, I'm giving you insight now. Giving you folks insight today. Said, in this world, in this building here, are evil spirits, he was speaking in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, are evil spirits and war and Christians anointed. I believe I could say, in this building here, are evil spirits, are war, are God's anointed. Hallelujah! He said, and, he didn't stop there, and the angels of God encamped above them, trying to energize their faith. Come on, folks, receive that. The angels of God are here. Evil spirits are here. Turmoil and war and strife is here. But the angels of God are here. The Holy Ghost is here. The world is here. And the angel seeking to energize your faith to believe the Word of God. But say hallelujah. The angels. Your angel. My angel. Your theophany. My theophany. And the angels of God are here seeking to energize your faith. Oh God. Let it have no room for doubt in this place. Let's cast every doubt out. Let's cast every doubt. I tell you, my brother, my sister, you couldn't even conceive what will happen. what God will do in this day. Not necessarily just now, but throughout our lives. He says, and here I am, just yielding myself, standing here, he said, just yielding myself, and the Holy Spirit's a moving. And this is what you call heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They're right here. Heavenly places. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you believe. I don't care where you come from. I do care where you're going. I don't care anything about what your station is in life. I care that God's word is true. I care that the angels of God are here. I care today because I'm in another world. Hallelujah. Glory, the supernatural is here. I care because there's another world where my prayers, your crying to God have been heard by Christ. I just get you to believe that. You're in the realm where all things are possible. I'm trying to get you up into a place today of perfect faith. Not where you were, or not where you hope to be, where you can come this morning. Maybe you didn't expect it, but I did. I expected God. I've been in this atmosphere for several days now. I haven't been myself because by concentrating and staying in that realm, I can tell you it's real. You get to a place. My wife and I walked into a mall last night. I said, let's get out of here. This is so foreign. All this razzmatazz, all this music, it's not from the world I've just been in. Let me get out of here. Let me get back to that peace that comes from God. Let me go to the shady green pastures. Let me drink from the still waters. The angels are here. The supernatural is here. Because Christ is here, just in another world, just beside you. He said, believers are in a world. To all believers, they're a mystic. The people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. In the fourth seal, he said, I think any born-again Christian is kind of an oddball to the world because you've been changed. Metamorphosis. Meta after the form of Christ. For the purpose and the process is because you have seen Him. It's become visible to the eye. And you're being changed in His form. Metamorphosis. Change. Which is most your inheritance. It's your destiny. It belongs to you. Your destiny. Your destination. Where you're going. That's your inheritance. It belongs to you. This other world belongs to you, friend. Children, it belongs to you. You talk about a Christmas. I can say today, heaven came down and filled my soul. We're not talking about some pie in the sky. We're talking about heaven. Eternity. Here. You think I'm just excited? Not for a moment. He said, there's another world. You don't have to leave very far. It's right with you. It's around you. God only give you 5 senses, and that's to contact so much of this world. But there's another world. You haven't got any senses to contact. You can't contact it because you don't have it. You don't have it. These senses don't contact it. But you have a faith in God's Word. And by it we have contacted it. We are in contact with it. If I can focus you enough, if I can get you just to concentrate on it, if I can get you just to isolate yourself so no one moving, no one doing anything, even disturb you at all, and we had our minds set on Christ, we had our minds upon His angels of God which are encamped around us and the purposes of God, I tell you, my brother, my sister, you would leave here today, and I trust you will leave. I'm believing that. Affected, changed, and further down the road on this transformation. And if it hasn't commenced in your life, that it will start. Oh God, let it start now. Let's be in prayer for every brother and sister. Let it begin now. Maybe you've been baptized, but there's another filling for you. May it be now. Does God want to wait? No, I don't believe He wants to wait. He wants to do it now. He wants to do it more than you want to receive it. Said the angels are encamped around those that fear Him in another world where the five senses doesn't declare. He says the five senses only contact this world. But here we are, listen, by faith. You walk up a ladder, up. Jesus was made a little lower so you could walk up. Finally, you can get so high until you break into another world. And He said, which is vision. When you break into another world, you don't have to be a prophet because where prophets are born. Prophets are only born. And you can get up into faith where you can see for yourself what you need. You can climb up into faith till you can get what the prophet would see. You can climb up into faith until you will hear what the prophet would hear. You can climb up into faith until you know your prayer is heard like He knew it was heard. You can climb up into faith. How many believe that? You believe it, you shall receive it. If you doubt it, you shall not receive it. If you believe it, you walk up a ladder. God, let it be for this people that you can break out into another world. I ask you, what world do you want? You got this one. You got it. It's here. You don't have to go out this afternoon and go hunting for evil. You don't have to go looking for the fruits of wickedness and unbelief. We could soon become into a depressed state by simply talking about the conditions of this world, your world. I won't say your world, but this world, because we are not of this world. Jesus makes a distinction. I am not of this world. And He prayed for those in John 17. He said, they, who can say I'm one of those that He said, they are not of this world. I urge you. I persuade you with everything that's in me. I draw on you. I appeal to your soul to acknowledge this as the truth of God's Word. In order that you might come under the benefits, to doubt brings you into a place of disease. To doubt brings you into a place of bondage. To doubt brings you into a place where the demons are. Demons are doubters. Is this too straight? Demons are doubters. Satan has a voice. And he seeks to speak even against my voice today. But he has already been conquered. By the Spirit of God, he's already been conquered. I appeal to you, as a brother in Christ, acknowledge God's Word is the truth of God's Word. As absolute truth that you might come under the benefits. And finally, and with this I must close, even though I'm only about half finished. This life that you have right now, these organs, this body, he said, that other world. He said, as you get older, it becomes more real, more of a reality. But he said, you start packing up. And I said to the Lord this morning, Brother Graham called himself an old man when he was 52. I said this morning, Lord, I'm packing up. I'm going to start really packing up. I've tasted of this new heavenly atmosphere. And everything in this world is crude, cold, harsh, bitter, dark. I'm packing up. I want to go. I want to step to where Christ is. I want to step where that prophet is. I want to step just across the veil. He said, it's continuing. It's continuing of this same life in another world. Another place. Here I've been on placing for weeks. Those of you that have missed some of the services, you need to get them. God has been giving us a special time. You get Wednesday night. I've continued Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Sunday, straight through. You need to get them all so you can just see what God is doing amongst us here. And now, this will cap off the service this morning. Brother Branham started to tell, for those of you that are visiting, Brother Branham, a prophet of God in this generation, proven over 33 years before tens of millions of people, on continents after continents in America and Europe, prayed for King George VI, who was dying from meningitis, and God healed him. Pillar of fire came down, was visible, photographs were taken in Germany, in Houston, Texas, in various places. So we don't apologize for mentioning him, and we don't have to verify it, because God verified it. But now I'm bringing a summation here now. Now, I gave you his words on what this other world was. And all the characteristics of it and what was happening there, how he heard prayers there. He says he's watching. He was watching Jesus there. He said he's seeing over there in that other world, while he stood here, while he was there, he saw the lives of the people who were in front of them 40 years ago. And he saw their lives in the next week or two, 4 years ahead. That happens to be eternity. And so he began to speak on this, and he said in the message, Testimony on the Sea, this is in 1962, he said a little translation which he had, and he began to tell about this translation. And he said, some people might stumble at that, so I could call it a vision. But he said, it was a translation. And now he has spoken about this other world because he, as a prophet, was standing here and seeing it. But before God called him off the scene, God called him into it. You see it now? actually called him into it. He had told you about it. It was recorded. Here we are in 1992. We're hearing about it. It's anchored back in the Scriptures. We can see it all the way through the Scriptures. But now he was translated into it. Saw the people, saw what he saw, and most of you are familiar with that. But here's the point. He just started on it, and then he broke off from it. And he said that he was in a lobby of a lobby waiting for an airplane. And he said they had a program, and they were showing where they had done some research. He said a mile deep in the sea. And he said down there they had discovered fish that have no eyes. And they were guided by another sense. Now remember, he's just talking about the translation. So he said, now this fish had no eyes and they had another sense. But he said, yet it has another sense than its direction, so it could find its food. He said, and I was thinking, when I was looking at that, what if I could use my eyes and let this little fish surrender itself to me? And with my sense of sight, how I could guide it. I could see where its food was, way over there. And he could say, don't pay any attention to your radar or whatever you've got going. He said, my sense of sight is so much greater than his sense of how he has to direct himself. How much better off he would be. Then he went on, he says, but now what if that little fish could ever become me? Metamorphosis. What if he could ever be changed into me? Now, Brother Branham just started talking about being on the other side and seeing the believers, seeing the redeemed. And he immediately goes a mile deep into the sea to a creature that has no eyes. Now he says, what if that creature could become me? Would he ever want to go back into that midnight ink down there? Would he ever want to be that again? With those kind of sights and senses? No, sir. He said, I'd want to be a human. Now he says, now multiply that by 100 million. And then God has to change this mortal being that we are. He said, we are pre-pressurized and taken up into his presence. He said, where we never want to have this kind of thing again, far beyond. We're changed from the creature. Oh, God. I say, let it continue. Let it be taking place now. You desire it? All you have to do is desire it. Let's bow in his presence now. Oh, Father, how we sought to speak just what you gave us on our heart in the last week or so. Oh, God, how moved we were as we waited upon you. Oh, our soul cried out, Lord, for this other realm, this other world, and we do not put it way in the future. We see even now, Lord, that your voice is calling us, and while it's calling, it's changing us. We're going through this change, this transfiguration, this transformation, Lord, into the very image of that which we've seen. Oh, thank you that we've seen you. We've seen you face to face. And Lord, yet how we desire to drop this fleshly robe, how we desire to drop these eyes that get attracted to the colors and the glitter of this world. I pray that you'll blind us, especially in this season, to this world, Lord. Blind us. May we have sight for Christ. May we have eyes for you. May we see you, our beloved bridegroom. I pray, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for your glory. Amen. Amen. 268 in the blue book. Sisters being baptized, if you'd like to just go now, so we won't delay. I'm sorry, I was a little lengthy this morning, and yet I'm not sorry. I know that you believe me. And you would accept it when I tell you. I felt very, very directed. More so than I have in many, many months. I can't say more blessed with the Word, because the Word always blesses. But I felt very directed in that this message this morning was for this church. This Word is for you. He's here for this great change. Let's stand, and let this be your heart's cry from the